If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the living light and the living word of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is, are you enjoying your life? So let's start with an integrated process. Take a deep breath and ride the magnificence of your immortal being in full awareness down into the vestiture of the conditioned energy that you call your human presentation. You are a field of conditioned energy, but you've emanated from unconditioned being, and what you are forever and eternally is existence, awareness, and bliss. And this is who you are and what you are forever. And our life here in this tap dance of time and space, being and becomingness, is simply for the purpose of remembering who and what we are beyond the cycles of manifested doingness that we call this phenomenal world. It's to remember but that, who you are, and nothing more. So again, let me ask you, are you enjoying your life? Right now, as it is, as you are you happy now? Take a deep breath and sink deep, 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 deep down into the very center of your innermost core. And just look with the inner gaze and see what's there. Perhaps your body will rock or feel chills. Perhaps you'll see that vivid purple light that I'm seeing right now. And maybe you'll see nothing. It doesn't matter. Just look to see what's there or what's not there. There's no value in any of it except the value you accord to it. So just be present with that which is and check it out very, you know, dispassionately. Be cool. Just check it out. And begin to feel yourself apart from your outer shell as an inner field of energy. Begin to identify yourself more as unlimited energy. In fact, when you have time, good practice when you're going to sleep or just when you have nothing else to do, is to sit very, very quietly and feel your inner body of vitality, your inner body of energy. You'll feel it as like a tingling, you know, after you settle down deep in yourself, which you can do as a form of daily recreation, vacation from your thinking, to just settle into the awareness of yourself as energy, your breath, your heartbeat, all of it. Feel life coursing through you. Know that that life is immortal. It is the existence of the truth of your being. It is your self conscious awareness ever expanding, and it is all pervasive, embracive, inclusive love, or Ananda, bliss. So if you're very observant, you will notice that just about everyone who is unhappy, yourself included, is unhappy because they're not focused in true awareness here and now. You know, people hang on to the past and keep rehearsing it by telling the story over and over and over. And every time they turn to the past, they die to the present. And they keep revisiting and recreating those past energy fields, which then become manifested, if not in this appearance, in one to come in the future. Because you're always creative. Even if you're creating an illusion, you have free creative license in this dimensional universe. And then there's those who wait to see what will happen in the future, paralyzed with fear, uncertainty, doubt, or whatever. And so they're not present in the moment either. And this is why people are unhappy. It's feedback from their own inner nature that they're not experiencing true life. They're dying because when you are in the past, it's a form of death. And when you project into the future, you don't do anything but go into a void. So if you feel empty and like you're dead, guess why? So the average person is almost never present fully in the moment. Well, I'd have to say with two exceptions. When we sneeze and when we have an orgasm, it is said that we are totally present at that instant, merged with the experience. And consider this. The pleasure that we have in an orgasm is just the tiniest taste of what spiritual bliss, ananda, and union with the divine truly feels like. A true, full-body, orgasmic bliss that is unending. Now that is an incentive to integrate your higher potential. What would be? So to have that continual integrated orgasmic experience of God requires the mastering of our lower mind and eventually transcending it with all of its distracting mischief. So everything that is being played out today on the global scale, the global stage, can be viewed as our collective repertoire of scary scenarios. The ego mind has pulled out all the stops and is going full bore into projecting catastrophic end-time annihilation scenarios. Now, for humanity as a whole, I think we would benefit if we could view this as our confrontation with our collective dweller on the threshold. This is the fourth dimensional plane of the round to-its. You know, every issue, every fear, every trigger point, every bugbear that we pushed under the carpet into distraction and not being willing to take accountability for our households of consciousness, all of that is in that straining, that strainer that's catching the pulp of our unresolved issues, but will not let us pass into the fifth dimension until they have been completely dealt with. So the manifestation of the sum total of all of our fears, and really not one single dread and doom-filled thing has been ignored, is present and being enacted right now on the planet. And to the extent that you buy into this as reality, does that have an effect on you? And the effect will be the feeling of helplessness, depression, fear, dread of the future, and even suicidal tendencies. And yet this is simply part of the necessary rite of passage that we individually used to go through in the ancient mystery schools. Only today, we are the collective initiate. We are the group that is going through the initiatory tests as a collective human race. So it is very useful to view all the scary stuff we see on the news and hear happening throughout the world as an opportunity to confront and pass through the false evidence appearing real, that acronym for fear. And each time we do that as an individual, we shorten the length of this nightmare for others. That's the best thing you can do for this planet, is to face and master your own dweller on the threshold, the sum total of all your boogeymen and dark shadows and fearful, scary things. Face them. Watch how they dissolve in the light of your awareness. And yet, observe that there are indigenous elders living on this planet that are totally in a different reality, like the Koji tribe, for example, in the caves of Colombia. And they live a life totally apart from what we know as the westernized, commercialized modern world. Then there are those who dwell in the high Himalayan mountains who also live totally insulated from so-called modern world. And then there's the subterranean dwellers, the people from Telos, and the terrene worlds of highly advanced consciousness. And these indigenous peoples and a few others scattered throughout the world carry the highest level of consciousness upon the planet. And they are holding that place of consciousness as threshold guardians and gatekeepers to an even higher state of awareness that we are collectively going to achieve together as we make this quantum leap into the fifth dimensional world. But we can't drag the shadows with us. We have to confront them now, and we don't have much time left. We don't have time to waste. We cannot ignore the things that are issues in our life. We have to, as the saying goes, eat them quickly, gobble them up, dissolve them into the light of your higher awareness. But don't keep rehearsing your limitations and your fears and your dreads. That cannot pass into the new earth, which is made of unconditioned living love. So here is what you need to contemplate whenever you are afraid. Every fear concerns your physical body and its survival, if you notice. And the physical bodies and the survival of your loved ones. You know, go ahead, look, and you'll see for yourself that this is so. And this is why the Ashtar Command and all of the other master forces continually remind you that you are not your physical body. You are an immortal spirit clothed in indestructible bodies of light. You can never die. You can never be destroyed or cease to exist, no matter what happens to you in this temporary physical garment that you've come to believe is yourself. So in the nightmarish dream scenario currently being enacted upon Earth, we will all be leaving this third dimensional Earth in one dream or another at some point. And we will move truly and permanently into our immortal whole light bodies without the limitation of the lower ego mind interpretation that has been like a prison confining us in the third dimension. That will be doffed and left aside. So begin now to think of yourself as pure light. You are the light. You are wearing your immortal body of light right now. Begin to meditate and contemplate that as a reality. You are divine, unlimited awareness. See and feel and imagine yourself, your love, your bliss filling the universe. Begin to practice feeling that you pervade the whole entirety of the universe itself. Wear it as your star field of light. That is what is true. That is who and what you really are. So contemplate these truths and begin to withdraw and abstract your belief and thoughts in what is playing out in the daily news. Every single bit of it is smoky mirrors and magic beans and fake scenes and stage props. And you will awaken to a mortal life and ongoing joyful creative expression. Don't think you're going to cease to be or go into some unconscious cloud somewhere or sit on it and play a harp. That's all fantasy. You are a creative spirit ever engaging in cosmic endeavors that you couldn't even imagine in this particular mind that you're wearing now. You will always exist. There is nothing to fear at all. All that appears as fearful is temporary and will pass away. At some point, it will simply vanish entirely. So you can make it vanish for yourself right now, today. If you turn from buying into fears and instead focus upon the divine light that you are and that you've always been, you can only lose falsehood. If it's true, it is never in jeopardy. It cannot be lost. That's what makes truth truth, is that it is eternally so. It is not qualified or conditioned at all. It is absolute and eternal. So we are starting to become translucent. It was interesting. The other day we went out for lunch, and I spilled something on my blouse, and as I looked down to wipe it off, I looked down through my chest. I saw through it. My body had become layers of light energy. And it was interesting because today I also got an email where a friend of mine asked if I'd had a recent experience of becoming transparent. And comparing notes, we both had our transparency experiences at about the same time last Sunday. So I'm wondering if any of you had the transparency experience. So that's just proof. One more item of proof in a list, quite a list at this point, that the shift is upon us. And we are, I believe, starting to gradually fade out of this particular version of the world dream, which means that we will begin to peer into the higher dimensional earth. That could be one way that that's going to happen. I mean, we really don't know, do we? So when you look at your life, begin to ask yourself, I chose this. I have given this, whatever it is, value to my self-definition. Why? Why did I choose this? And what do I get as a result of choosing this? It could be a person, an experience, a condition, a thing, an environment, a handicap, an addictive pattern, whatever, whatever. But ask yourself, what am I learning from this? What is it for? You know, what is its purpose? And you might also want to have tea with a thought. Who would I be and what would my life be like without this in my life? And there again, there are some things we can shift. And some things we need to shift in attitude because they're probably going to remain for the balance of this dream episode that we call our life. That would be a physical handicap or something of that nature. So that's where you move to acceptance and cooperation, and you begin to work with it so that you can have fulfillment, joy, and happiness regardless, like Helen Keller, for example. So when you ask yourself, who would I be and what would my life be like without this in my life, the last question and your answer will be most revealing. In fact, sometimes you can even catch and bust the ego strategy in its attempt to limit and undermine your present happiness. Now, the ego is fed upon, it feeds upon misery and chaos and fear and all of that. So we keep our ego self pretty well fed, I think. So we even have a catchphrase that we use a lot today. What was I thinking? We often say that. What was I thinking? But who pauses to follow up with any kind of an answer? Who tries to determine what you were thinking prior to the resultant mess that you created for yourself? I think the strangest reversal of our thinking occurs when we finally understand that we alone are responsible for the world we see and the experience we're having of this world that we've chosen to see as it is. So we actually are in control of our life, but just not in the way that we had imagined. The world that we see exists entirely within our mind. Try that. The world I see exists entirely in my mind. And it appears exactly in the same way that a dream arises within the mind of the dreamer. Sai Baba has so often said that if we understand how dreams arise in the mind, we will understand how this creation has arisen in the mind of Brahman, the creator god. So therefore, let's ask ourselves again, am I enjoying my life right now, just as it is? And if the answer is no, then let's find out why. And let's track down those fears, thoughts, and beliefs that we've bought into and imagined to be how it is. By now, I think most of you are familiar with the concept, at least in theory, that we create our own reality. But it goes much deeper than the law of attraction and imagining. Actually, we are image-making 24/7. And our life is the very evidence of the images that we've been holding in our mind. But what appears to be lacking is the consistent practice of spiritual discrimination and discernment. In Sanskrit, discrimination and discernment are called vairagya and viveka. And you may be familiar with those if you've been following a yogic path or practicing the Eightfold Ashtanga Yoga of Patanjali. But whether or not you are, the Christians call it the discerning through the word of knowledge to the Holy Spirit. You learn to place Christ as the empire of your thoughts. He decides what is true and what is not, what is eternal and what is transitory. It's the exact same practice, just clothed in different terminology and metaphor. And it means to learn to discern the eternal reality from the temporary appearances that appear within the phenomenal world. And again, our life here is only for that purpose of remembering the truth of our being. Nothing else really is going on here. But very few people, and even those who are committed to a consistent spiritual practice, ever question their thoughts. Instead, they will rather tend to believe and identify with their thoughts and beliefs, assuming that to be who they are. And yet, if you, again, meditate on this, you'll find that 99.9% of everything we believe or even think has come from some outside source. It's come from something we've read, something we've been taught, something we have heard again and again until it's become assumed as part of our own understanding. What has been birthed from your direct revelation from the God within you? What has been revealed supernaturally without it coming from something that you read or heard? You will have doubts about God and spirituality until you have the courage to go directly within and to really listen. When you're really serious about hearing from God, you will hear from God very clearly and unmistakably. You will receive continual downflow of revelation. You know, like Neil Donald Walsh did in his conversations with God. But remember, he had to come to the end of himself. God had to bring him up against every scary thing that he was most afraid of, that most threatened his sense of well-being, that most shattered his sense of self-worth and happiness. And he had the courage to hang in there with it and to work it. And after a year, when God asked him if he was just venting or ready to listen, and he began to speak. And oh my gosh, what a dialogue. 6-7 books or more that poured forth when Neil Donald Walsh was ready to listen. The book's Conversations with God. Well worth your reading. But as he said, you know, we're all having conversations with God. We just don't realize it. We haven't paid attention. We haven't stopped to really listen. We haven't trusted what's been shown to us in the little things. Because God is always speaking in everything. Of course, a miracle says that all voices are but echoes of the one voice for God. So if we would only pause and examine our thoughts before we launch into acting upon them, we would gain mastery over our only real enemy, which is our ignorance of reality. And our reality, make no mistake about it, is what we live out daily in each moment. So there's no dodging your reality. It is uniquely your own, even though it seems like many others are sharing the same reality. It would be more accurate to say that we are undergoing, as soul, very similar classes. Each person's reality is uniquely their own, but souls will incarnate in groups during certain historical periods to learn and to experience very similar lessons. So you could look at your life on Earth at this time, in this point in history, as a particular course and curriculum of study that you've elected to enroll in. Okay, you might be saying, so my life is really a course of study? And the Earth is like a big university? Yes, that is correct. Remember that you chose this, that you had a very good reason for doing so. And that is the first step to returning to your innate happiness as a soul. A Course in Miracles teaches that when we are not happy, that something's wrong. That we are out of sync with our true nature. And that we are projecting an illusion that is not real, nor really there. See, just because you think you see something doesn't mean it's really there. Projection, again, and seeing is an inside affair. There's nothing outside of that energy field that you've conditioned as your presentation in this quantum universe. You are the composite, the sum total of your conditioned experiences and interpretations. But that's not your whole story. That is the individualized, separate appearing self that dissolves into an awareness in which you dwell in and as everything and everyone that exists. That's called God consciousness. Not all of us have the assignment to embody that. Like, for example, Sai Baba, who is a full avatar of God consciousness. But what we can embody is that love, is that unconditioned pure love that we call Christ consciousness, that unified embracement of all that is as the beloved. That is very, very, very much in reach of every single one of us. So our unhappiness is the best feedback the universe can provide to let us know that we bought into an illusion. Therefore, we could define happiness as being normal and natural. And also the feedback that we are exactly where we're meant to be. I just love this scene in Conversations with God where Neil Donald Walsh is on the couch and he's really mad at God and he shouts angrily, "What do you want from me?" And God answers calmly, "You've got me all wrong. I only want you to be happy." What if we got God all wrong? What if the ancient prophets that interpreted the scriptures, interpreted out of the separated, fear-based ego mind? What if they all got God all wrong? What if God really is eternal bliss? And we are that too, made in the image and likeness of our Creator. I only want you to be happy. Well, how often do we do what we do? Just for the simple reason of being happy. But we think a lot of things that make us happy that don't really make us happy. So again, we have to determine and discriminate and discern what really produces lasting happiness. And when I speak of the word happy here, I'm really speaking of a word that has a much deeper meaning in Sanskrit. Sukha or santosham would be more descriptive words, which imply a spiritual happiness that is not dependent upon the outer illusory forms in the world. Because most forms of happiness that we pursue that are attached to form also carry with it suffering and fear because we're afraid we'll lose it. That's not true happiness. That's what Sai Baba would call ice cream happiness. You're happy while you have the ice cream, but if somebody knocks it off your cone, then you're not happy. No. True santosham, true sukha, is unshakable divine joy. So what if we just determined what we really need to be happy, you know, even at the most mundane level, and got rid of all the rest? Don't you think that's a good idea? Now, what if we took this same process and applied it to our beliefs and thoughts? Go ahead, ask yourself, does this particular belief that I'm so loyal to, this thought that I keep revisiting, do they make me happy? And let's make it really simple here. Happy is from God. Unhappy is illusion. Just notice whether your choice is bringing you a sense of happiness or not. That is really simple enough, don't you agree? Only involve yourself in thoughts and things that make you happy. Here's another simple key. When you are happy, God is happy. Okay, overly simplistic and anthropomorphic, but you will remember it because it is true. And just to say it or think it brings you an immediate sense of release and relief. So we are happy when we are being ourselves, when we are being true to ourselves. Being natural, being sincere, being without apology, just unabashedly ourselves. And we're enjoying what we're doing. So both happiness and unhappiness occur because of what we do inside our minds, the interpretations that we make of things that happen to us. It's not what happens to us, it's the interpretation that we place upon it. So, whatever we do, we are stuck with ourselves. We can travel to the other side of the earth or to a distant galaxy. And wherever we go, there we are. And we carry our consciousness and our thoughts and beliefs with us. So happiness and unhappiness, like heaven or hell, are both created within our own consciousness as states of mind. And we can live in our own portable paradise or our own portable hell. But we are the only one deciding upon the contents we choose and elect to carry in our consciousness. So to change your experience immediately, you need go no further than your mind. Examine your thoughts. Are they in alignment with eternal truth or not? Ask yourself, what is this for? I've given whatever it is all the meaning that it has for me. Okay, so what does this thought, this belief, this situation mean to me? become quite ruthless in questioning and uprooting every joy-stealing lie from the pit of ignorance that attempts to steal your present happiness. Ask yourself, what is this for? What do I gain by having this in my life? What would my life be like without it? And here's a big one. If I could just walk away without any consequences, would I? Wow. If I could just walk away, as if this had never happened, without any consequences, would I? And then have the courage to do that. Truly speaking, you are here for no one and no thing but yourself. You ultimately will have to evaluate and grade and answer only to yourself. You'll be asked by that inner voice, how do you think you did with your life? And it's not so much what you do, so much as how you evaluate yourself with regard to the life you've just completed. Now, I know we have fancy names in terms of that final evaluation. But really, the karmic board and the great judgment throne of God really means to stand before your own divine spirit. And to be able to see into the very heart of your individualized soul and really determine if the lesson that you had set out to learn before you embodied on Earth was learned or not. And that's why I think it's stated in the Bible that if we examine and judge ourselves each day, then we won't have to face judgment at the end of our life. There are many esoteric teachings in the biblical scriptures that we could go much, much deeper into and come up with the same things that I teach each seminar. They're all in the scriptures. You just have to know how to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into both the inner and the outer word of God. So when we use the term judgment here, biblically speaking, it means to discern spiritually whether or not you successfully passed the course that you'd enrolled in upon earth. And you yourself determine if you're able to graduate and move on into a higher course of study or on into a more advanced galactic university. So what happens in your life is not what is important. What you do in your mind about what happens in your life is very, very important. So why do certain things loom huge for certain souls so that they become the major life focus? These are subjects that were flunked the last time around. So that is why they are in your face to be dealt with now. And because this is the last third-dimensional cycle on this planet for the next 26,000 years approximately, these last vestiges that have kept you entrapped in this version of the Earth, this third density version of the Earth, these things must be faced now. That, again, is the dweller on the threshold, which is your sum total of your fears. And as you pass through that initiation, as you walk in the light of faith, as you follow the Lord with steadfast trust, as you model Christ and walk in his footsteps and completely lean with the entirety of your trust and reliance upon him using our familiar Christian metaphor. As you do that, you walk in the light of grace, and it becomes easy. You do all things through His power, His grace, His name, His authority that He has placed with you as a person who has made a full commitment of your heart, mind, and life to Him, to God, to light. So that is the easy way to completely walk, not after your own understanding, but in the Spirit, so that the Divine Spirit leads you step by step through every situation in your life. You don't meddle in your life. You wait for revelation to illumine the path and the step before you. Just enough light for the next step. That's how Spirit works. In the spiritual realm, you're always stepping into the unknown through faith. You cannot achieve anything without faith. And I like to define faith as unconditional trust in God. Unconditional trust in the Lord. And it's very difficult to trust something that's invisible. So that's why He used Jesus. He used that form, which is the very image of God's love, the very perfection of everything we are designed and modeled to replicate in our own individual ways. But nevertheless, we are all to emerge as a conscious son and daughter of God, as a Christ-conscious being. So that's why it's so important to accept what is present in your life and find a way to work it in a positive and responsible manner, to use everything in your life as a step of spiritual advancement and as a stepping stone to God. In the spiritual realm, you will always be given something that you cannot handle without God's help. That's how you can tell it's from God. It's always too big for you. And now we're going into a more dualistic train of thought here, because that's where most of us are living from. But if it works, you work it until it no longer works, and then you move to the next thing. As you outgrow one particular way of moving toward God, you adopt one that's more goal-fitting when you outgrow certain progressions in your unfoldment. So again, work what works for you. And have the wit to let it go and move to what is next when you've outgrown it. You will know when you've outgrown it because it flatlines for you. There's no more energy to it for you. And you're beginning to act like a parrot, like a robot, rather than spontaneously in the Spirit. How do we act spontaneously in the Spirit? Well, know that all ritualistic, repetitive types of approaches to God are like spiritual ABCs, calisthenics. At some point, you outgrow them until you are in continual and ever-increasing communion with God. You come into union with the divine presence so that you're always internalizing in dialogue, even as you're walking in the light of your own divine beingness. There's always that inner attentiveness that you don't lose yourself into the outer expression. You learn to be here and there at the same time, using a here and there metaphor, which doesn't exist. But if it did, it would mean that you would be multidimensionally aware. As Baba puts it, you would have your head in the forest and your hands in society. And even though we talk about the world of appearances and forms being temporary and experiential in terms of being a learning arena, a gymnasium, if you will, for soul progression and spiritual mastery. But it's very important to act as if it were entirely dependent upon you, as if it were the most important thing in the world. You know, you have to consider what role you were cast in this lifetime, if you think of the world as a stage. What is your particular role that you were cast in? And then it's your duty to enact that role as the best actor, actress that you possibly could be without getting lost, without losing yourself in your role. That's the trick, is to do your dharma, do your duty, do your dance, do the best you can with your whatever it is you've got at hand to do. Do it with all your heart. Do it for God. Do it as yoga. And then remember, while you're doing it, that you are divine incarnation and that you're not really here at all and you're doing nothing. You're simply a conduit for God to do through you whatever needs to be done. You catch that subtle difference? You catch it? So that you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You do your best, but you're detached from the results. You're acting only for God. You do your best because that's the nature of the divinity that you are, is to be the best that you can be, to do the best that you can do, to place into time and space words that are in alignment with truth, to do actions into time and space that are devoid of harmful intent, that are in right alignment with truth or righteousness, that are not going to hurt yourself or anyone else. You do them not because you have to, out of a sense of duty, or for any results that the world can give you, but because it is the work that you offer that becomes your worship to God. Work consciously done for God, for God's glory, is worship. So we outgrow this external infancy of spirituality, and we move more and more until it becomes our authentic expression. Religiosity falls aside. Doctrinal mindsets that limit and confine and separate fall away. I have never met a God-realized person that saw any difference in the different names and forms of God. Not one. They all honor every appearance of divinity, regardless of culture or creed or religious understanding. A truly God-realized person expands and realizes that there is only one God, and that God is omnipresent and is appearing as the entirety of all that exists. So the only squabbles you will ever hear, the only people who do dispute this, are people who have only read books and have not had a genuine experience of self-realization. They have thought about it, read about it, believed about it, but you know when you have moved into it and it has moved into you, and you've become one, then doubt is no longer there. Until then, you will have doubts. But when it's doubtful, check it out. It's either letting you know it is doubtful, or you are not yet experienced fully in that level to where you know that you know. So each week, we find different ways to present to you the truth, wedding it in practical ways with keys and guidelines that you can import and integrate and assimilate and digest and move that spiritual nutrition down into every fiber of your being and grow up that body of light to such a degree that one day this world and all of its crazy appearances no longer is visible to you, and you are walking in the new higher dimensions in which there is no shadow or turning, no tear and no death, and the imperishable bliss and love of God has become your true nature. So if you've been listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command with Commander Lady Athena, and let's go out now chanting on I, you. Take a deep breath. On I, you. I will be with you next week. And until then, keep dissolving from the illusion and keep awakening to the light that you are. Adonai.